Well, good afternoon to all. Special music this afternoon will be a bridge between the split sermons. You will see that as I proceed through. I'm looking at this microphone. You know that Mark Winter, he's up here. I'm down here. Should I move this? Will I pop the pee? Okay, fine. I can bring you greetings also from South Florida, West Palm, as well as the Caribbean. I know they are tuned in Barbados and St. Kitts. We are certainly here at a very important occasion in the Church of God history. I see that I have about 10 minutes to speak. So in conclusion, we have an emergency phone number in this country, 911, that people will use without regard to its purpose. The Los Angeles Fire Department emergency crews were dispatched a few years for the following calls. A person had his arm stuck in the ATM machine, so he called 911. An 18-year-old male can't get any rest at home, wants a ride to the hospital. Don't call a taxi, call 911. 61-year-old worried because her stomach is not growling. Call 911. A lady has blisters on her feet from walking for 3 days at Taco Bell. Call 911. A man was shot 1 year ago, says the bullet and his intestines are coming out. So, call 911. One of my favorites on this list, a man is out of breath running from the police. So, who does he call? 911. And in the 911 telephone call, a person answered no to the question, "Are you conscious?" Things have gotten so bad that 911 has resorted to voicemail. Following is an example. Thank you for calling 911. In order to serve you better, your call is being routed to the police department, fire department, hospital, or mortuary, best able to help you. If your home is being broken into, press 1. If the intruder is armed, press 2. If the intruder is in the room from which you are making this call, press 4. If you are attempting to avoid detection and have turned off the lights, press 233-920-0972, followed by the pound sign. That is not a valid number. Please try again. If you have been attacked since the last choice and are dazed and unable to recall long strings of random numbers, press 1. If you are bleeding, press 4. If you are bleeding all over the rug, press 5. If you would like the number of a good cleaner, press 7. If you want more options, press 1776, followed by the star sign, in honor of the choice open to the humanity by the American Revolution. If you want to know the choices in other states, press 1776, followed by the number of stars indicating the order in which the star was the state was admitted into the Union. For a listing of order of admission, press 4. To repeat this message, press 2. If you're still bleeding, press down hard on the wound. Have you ever gotten so frustrated because your world is crumbling around you and you don't know what to do? You cry out for help and nothing seems to happen. I compare it to a trip that I made many years ago when my family and I lived in the Caribbean, nearly 30 years ago. I lived in Barbados and I had responsibility for two other islands, St. Lucia and St. Vincent. Once a month I would fly over to each. It was on one of those trips to St. Lucia. We would make a trip over by the Leeward Island Transport, LIAT, This is one of the Caribbean airlines. The natives would call it, or those indigenous to the Caribbean would use that abbreviation, L-I-A-T, is leave island anytime. But in boarding that plane, I had some comfort looking out the window because those engines were made by Rolls-Royce. So it had RR on the engine. On this one particular trip, we hit an air pocket, the likes of which I had never experienced before. We were bouncing around inside of the fuselage of that plane like rag dolls. And then the overhead compartments opened up, and all of the items inside were flowing out into the fuselage. We were looking at each other, and we knew this was it. We knew we were going to die. And as we were now getting ready for that inevitability, the pilot came over the intercom. "Ladies and gentlemen, we've encountered a bit of turbulence. Please return to your seats and fasten your seatbelt." We looked at each other. What? How could he be so calm? Why don't you tell us where are the life rafts? Because I'm looking outside. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? Be seated. Help us now. And so I started praying that pessimist prayer. Lord, help, 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 help. We waited a couple of more minutes. "Ladies and gentlemen, St. Lucia is experiencing a bit of a turbulent storm. We will go into a holding pattern around the storm, and then we will land." And I started praying whatever prayer I could pray. "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. The Lord is my shepherd," and I'm singing, "When upon life billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost." And then finally he came on, "Ladies and gentlemen, the storm is moving rather slowly across St. Lucia. We are going to divert to Martinique and wait out that storm." A trip that normally took us 30 minutes took 6 to 7 hours. But that pilot was the calm in the midst of that storm. And I want to make a comparison this afternoon in the second split that Jesus Christ is the calm in the midst of the storms of life. Jesus Christ is the calm in the midst of the storms of life. He was for the disciples on two separate occasions that are brought out in the Bible that I want to focus on. I will primarily focus on the first one in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And at the end of this message, we will just briefly look at the second one in Mark chapter 6, verses 45 to 51. So let's go over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. Mark 4, 35, it says, "On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" Now keep that expression in mind. That statement by Jesus Christ, he said, "Let us go over to the other side." Verse 36. "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him." The expression "in the boat as he was" apparently indicates that they left without going ashore. When you start this chapter, he started teaching those who had gathered around on the shore, and he was in the boat. Now, after all of the teaching, he wanted to go to the other side. He did not want to go back on shore. He wanted to go to the other side. Verse 37. "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat that it was already filling. Sea of Galilee can be very calm and it can be tumultuous. I am sure a number of you have been over to Israel and have been on that sea. I recall the time that we were over there and we started from Tiberias and we went to Capernaum by boat. And it was a bit choppy. But when you look over to the east, you see the mountains of Gadarenes. And winds can come over those mountains and hit the Sea of Galilee, creating waves 10 to 12 feet high. So what we have now in this storm, waves on this sea rising higher and higher. But these are veterans of this sea. Some of these men are fishermen right on this sea. But at this point in time, they're up to their necks in water. They're down in water. They're forward and backwards in water. They don't know if they're in a boat or a submarine. And I can imagine the scene in which you've got six of them rowing, six of them with buckets bailing, as they now are bailing water out and trying to row across this sea with the storm. Now, we all have storms. All of us, none exempt. Poor health is a storm. And some are laboring with some very difficult problems now. The aging process, when some are looking forward to retirement, and yet it's almost like we're just starting work all over again. We're getting older. And the aches and pains. Remember when you were 20 and the things that you could have done back then? And now here we're 60 and 70. Death can be a storm for those surviving family members and friends. And now more and more are going through those storms. Finances or the lack thereof can be a storm. Number of people in here are unemployed. That's a storm. Problem marriages. Storms. Living this life with all of its stresses. Storms. And of course, throughout our lives, we've experienced church storms. Verse 38. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Picture the scene. The stern of the ship is in the back. Okay? We're in this boat. This boat is going up and down on the sea, not really going anywhere. Okay? Now, where is it that you are prone to get wet in a boat? My mind goes back to amusement parks of the past. I gave that up years ago. But there are certain rides, that waterlog ride that you kind of on a roller coaster and you go down and you hit the water and water then starts fanning out to the side and in the front, water goes up into the air. Where do you want to sit in that log if you don't want to get wet? Now, I'm sure someone will correct me afterwards. But you would sit in the front. Where would you be if you want to get wet? In the back. The water goes up, comes down. Now, here we're in this boat, okay? Here we are now experiencing this storm. Where is Christ? In the back, possibly being pounded by water, and he is sound asleep. That is amazing. Either he is a very sound sleeper, which he could have been, and he would have tired from preaching all day, or Christ was at peace in that storm. He was at peace in that storm. Years ago, over in London, an art gallery gave a prize for the best painting of peace. Many artists submitted scenes of peace and tranquility. The top prize went to a giant waterfall, a tree hanging over it, and there was nestled inside of one of the limbs over which a lot of leaves were, was a nest and a little bird singing. Peace is not the absence of storms. Peace is tranquility in the midst of storms. We have been tossed to and fro. Christ now is being tossed to and fro, but he is at peace within, and what was happening without wasn't bothering him. The key for Christ and for us, faith. Faith. As we'll see in the context, but I want you to hold it right here, and let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1, we are familiar with this definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. What are the things hoped for? Drop down verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. The promises. That's what they were hoping for. This is now the essence of faith, and the first part of that definition, the things hoped for are the promises of God being fulfilled. So that when storms overtake us, we need to claim the promises of God. Remember the first verse we read in Mark chapter 4. Christ said, let us go over to the other side. Christ did not say, let's go scuba diving. Christ did not say, let us make like Jonah and sink. He said, let us go over to the other side. He didn't promise that it was going to be easy. So often, that's what we would like, because we're on this journey to the other side. And so often, we would love to just have peace without. However, there is the scripture that we are familiar with. Many, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. It is through many tribulations we will enter into the kingdom of God. From our perspective, hey, one or two, that's good enough. But it says many tribulations. But understand something, once he has begun a work in us, he will finish it. We start here in this life. We're on the journey to the kingdom of God. It has been rough and rough and rough, but he says you're going to make it. We are going to make it all the way to the end. Go over into chapter 12 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look to Jesus Christ. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Focus on him as he came to this earth to set the example for us. Our greatest problems that we go through are not what's happening on the outside. Our greatest problems are not the winds and the waves that are being raged constantly. Our greatest problem is what's going on within. What's happening within? the work that God is doing within. Christ is at peace. How much turmoil have we gone through with the storms that we experience in this life? But Christ wants us to focus on his example. Understand why he was at peace, because of the connection that he had with his Father. And we have an adversary that is trying his very best to cut and sever that connection. And we go through these trials so that the Father is going to be reconnected with us even more closely than ever before. Remember Elisha, king of Syria, sent his army to Dothan because he wanted to bring Elisha back to Syria. And so they were all outside around the mountains. And the servant of Elisha came in and says, my Lord, what are we going to do? And Elisha says, don't worry. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And I am sure the servant looked around. He looked at Elisha, looked around, and looked out there, saw all of those soldiers, and what is he talking about? And Elisha prayed, God, open his eyes so that he can see. So that he can see. And he saw the flaming angels all around the Syrian soldiers. And that is what we need when we're going through storms, to be able to see God. Oh, it can be very easy to see the hand and the footprints of Satan. And he has been stepping. He has been doing a lot of stepping. But if someone said to me, it's amazing when you see God come along and wipe away his footprints. That is what I need to see more of. And that example that has been set for us by Jesus Christ. The disciples were experienced men. They knew that if this boat filled with water, the boat would sink. What they forgot, Jesus Christ was in the boat. And because Christ can't sink, that boat won't sink. An unknown author contrasted doubt and faith this way: doubt sees the obstacles, faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step, faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I. Doubt sees the obstacles. Doubt sees the storms. Doubt looks out of the fuselage of the plane, sees it dark outside, sees all of the debris inside of the cabin of the plane. Faith sees the way. Jesus Christ says, I am the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. And we can see a lot of darkness through the time we have been called, from the time we have been called by God. Faith sees the day. Christ says, I am the light of the world. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high, because Christ says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I. We need to make sure our eyes are open as we're going through storms to see not only Jesus Christ, to see the Father. Because we're not done with storms. We're not done with them. The kingdom is not here. And if it's through many tribulations we enter into the kingdom, that means we've got some more to go through. Consequently, we better make sure we have those eyes set on not just Jesus Christ, but the Father. Back to Mark, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 38. He's in the stern of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, Do you not care that we are perishing? Christ, don't you care? That is fear speaking. Of course he cares. The one who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So may I boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man or storm will do to me. Of course he cares. The one who says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He's in the boat. He's in the boat. Of course he cares. And that's why Peter says, cast our cares on him. On him. Go over here with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Many of us have probably heard or know at least part of the old Negro spiritual, Nobody Knows the Troubles I've Seen. The object of that song, Nobody Knows But Jesus. He's been there. He's done that. In Hebrews, we start off with Jesus Christ, who existed for eternity. He was God, is God, will always be God. Chapter 1, he is stamped as the character of God when he became human. Moving over here into chapter 2, verses 17 to 18, it says, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Christ can say to any one of us, been there, done that. No matter what we have gone through or going through, that's why it goes into chapter 4, come boldly. Come boldly before him because he cares. Well, then back to Mark chapter 4. Verse 39, it says, then he arose and rebuked the wind. The word rebuked in the Greek is the same word that is brought out in the New Testament of rebuke the devil. The possibility is here that the devil is the one responsible for the storm. And we can look at his footprints today. Christ rebuked the storm. As it continues, it says, and he said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Apparently, the storm was intended to test the disciples' faith. The parallel account of this in Luke, and I'm not going over there, Luke chapter 8 says, but he said to them, where is your faith? Where is it? And I wonder if that's not what God is asking us as we go through these storms over and over again. Where is my faith? Where is your faith? The disciples had every reason to pass the test. Christ was in the boat with them. He told them, let's go over to the other side. They failed miserably. So verse 41, it says, they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this man be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, we could miss a very important point here. The calming of the sea, to me, is in a sense incidental. If they didn't awake Jesus Christ, he would have slept right through it. He would have slept right on through it. He knew he was going to the other side. Now here comes the storm. And their focus now is so much on the storm that they forgot to remember what Jesus Christ himself said. We're going to the other side. Nothing is going to stop us from getting over there. No trial, no temptation is going to stop us. We're going to the other side. And then when he calmed the sea, it says they feared exceedingly. The New American Standard Bible says they became very much afraid. They were terrified. They were more fearful of the peace than they were of the storm. Where was the focus? They didn't learn the lesson. So it happened one more time. Go over to chapter 6. Beginning with verse 45. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch, or 3 to 6 in the morning of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Again, I love certain scenes in the Bible. Okay? Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Now, he's looking down here at the sea. Here they are again. Row, bail, row, bail, row, bail. The boat, bail. But they're not going anywhere. So now he comes down from the mountain. And then he gets on the water. And he starts walking across the water and was going to walk right on by. Yeah, I'm thinking of an old song, Dionne Warwick, just to kind of paraphrase it. If you see me walking on the sea and you start to fear, not knowing it's me, I'm going to walk on by. So now, they momentarily stop, all right? They see this figure going by. They momentarily stop rowing and bailing. We come to verse 49. As it says, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and they cried out. Perfect setting for a ghost scene. 12 wide open mouths, eyes stretched to the limit, hair that was standing straight up in water, not down on heads, but standing straight up, and they think they see Casper. Verse 50, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled. When sickness strikes, Christ comes, and he says, it is I. When trials arise, Christ comes and says, it is I. When businesses fail, Christ comes and he says, it is I. Even though he wasn't in the boat at first, he sees the trial. And he comes and he says, it is I. An old children's song goes, when with Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. That's true, but there's another side. When Christ isn't in thy vessel, he sees. He sees me in the storm, and he's going to bring me through. He will bring us through because our focus is on him. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8 as we wrap this up. Romans 8, beginning with verse 35. When we're all willing to accept the storms of life, which God will allow, we discover what it states at the end of this chapter. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? Storm? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. Some more than others. Some are going through some very, very difficult things right now. Some are in quandaries right now. But understand, as it states at the beginning, who is going to separate you from the love of Jesus Christ? Anything? Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and loves us and will love us. For I am persuaded, and this is where we all must come, and we're all at different levels, at various places all around this earth. I am persuaded. I know that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus Christ is the calm in the midst of the storms of life. The late Corrie ten Boom, Holocaust survivor, author of a popular book, The Hiding Place, once said, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Faith sees the invisible, sees Jesus Christ, sees the Father, believes the incredible, believes and claims the promises that we find in his word, and receives the impossible, calm in the midst of the storms of life, and ultimately the kingdom of God. We've gone through some rough waters, and I just wonder if they might not get rougher. Never, ever forget, Jesus Christ is the calm in the midst of the storms of life.